Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, the Old Testament lesson is about Elijah the Tishbite, who was one of the five major prophets. It kind of starts out in the middle, so let me give you just a little background so you know what the background is and how we come to the conclusions that we do. Elijah is a prophet. God has told him that he is going to bring a drought on the land, and he instructs Elijah to tell the people about that. And after Elijah tells the people there's going to be a drought, then God sends him to a stream, and he lives there on the water from the stream, and he's fed by the ravens, sounding a little bit like how the children of Israel were fed by manna and quail in the desert, in the wilderness. And when the stream dries up, God says, okay, Elijah, I want you to go to Zarephath, and there is a widow there who has some flour and some oil, and she will care for you during this drought. And so Elijah goes to the widow, and she's out gathering wood to make a last meal for her and her son. And Elijah says, before you do that, make a cake for me and bring me some water. And if you do that, then the flour will never be out and the oil will never run dry. And Elijah and the widow and her son live on that flour and oil that continues to be renewed each day. But at some point, the widow's son dies. He gets sick, and the text says life is no longer in him. And so now this widow is suddenly faced with a pretty bad situation. Her life turns even worse than it probably was before, because she's lost her husband, now she's lost her son, and she's living on flour and oil that seems to be renewed every day, but she's not sure. And she has to wonder, is this prophet going to continue to care for me? How will I live if he leaves? And she has a lot of fears about her future. This poor widow understandably looks for someone to blame for her son's death. And she erroneously concludes that Elijah has gone to God and said, God, this widow has done lots of bad things. She's a really bad sinner. And now this woman says, God is punishing me. Which, of course, was not true. But that was the thought that she had. She feels helpless in a world over which she has no control. The gospel lesson also has the story of a widow who has lost a son as well. And she too is helpless to face the future by herself. Because in that time and that culture, widows had no means of support. They couldn't get work. Their husband's Social Security didn't support them. We can imagine that as this woman follows her son's casket, if you will, out to the cemetery, it takes all that she has to put one foot in front of the other, because she fears that the world is now going to be definitely against her. As I thought about these two widows, it occurred to me that in some ways we are like those two widows. How apprehensive are you about the future? How much do you have concern for your children and your grandchildren's future? How much do you feel helpless before the world? And sometimes I would bet that we even feel that God has abandoned us here on earth. We all know the world is changing. It's changing faster than we can seem to keep up. The definition of marriage has been changed for us. Sundays, once reserved for families to go to church, now are times when families attend sporting events. Churches that once had hundreds visiting on a Sunday morning now count their attendance in tens. The NFL in the past has declared that they have taken Sundays away from the religious institutions. We're having trouble understanding technology, let alone trying to keep up with it. And there seems to be more separation between the rich and the poor, between liberals and conservatives, between the secular and religious world. And then we all have great concern that the younger generations seem to be abandoning religion. So what is a poor, small, seemingly insignificant community of Christians like ours to do? What lies ahead for us as individuals? What lies ahead for us as a congregation? We certainly all have doubts and fears in lots of different areas. We named only a few. Where do we find the courage to face that future? Somebody has said that courage is fear that has said its prayers. And that's a really good, positive statement. But it doesn't seem to give me much comfort. The good news that we can take from these texts, I believe, comes from the stories of these two widows and their sons. Because you see, in both cases, God's love and compassion is shown. But it's not shown to rich and famous. It's not shown to the strong and the powerful. It's not shown to world leaders or kings. In this story, God shows his love for the lowliest, the most downtrodden, the weakest, the most vulnerable members of society. Both widows face a pitiful and poverty-stricken life ahead of them. But God intervened and he changed all of that. You see, if God hadn't sent Elijah to the widow at Zarephath, then she would not have known about God, and she and her son would have died after that last meal, and they'd never have had the opportunity to know God or his love and power. But because Elijah cried out to God that the boy's life be returned to him, Elijah was able to give that boy back to his mother. In his love and through his mercy, God restored the widow's future by working through Elijah, and both the widow and her son were saved. The gospel lesson, Jesus approaches a small town called Nain, and there he meets a funeral procession. Another widow has lost her son, her sole means of support. Not much has changed for widows since the time of Elijah way back when he was alive. So this widow, too, faces a pitiful life. And Jesus sees her and has compassion on her and says, "Do not weep." He touched the board that they were carrying on. The text uses the word bier. It was just a board that this dead man was being carried on. And he says, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the young man sits up and he begins to speak. And Jesus gave him back to his mother as well. In both stories, it is God who restored these sons to their mothers. In both stories, it is God who had compassion on the lowliest, the weakest, and the most vulnerable people in the world. And it is that same Jesus who is here with us today. The one who sees our plight, who sees our problems, who knows our fears and our worries, who has compassion on each of us as well. It is the same Jesus who says to us, "Don't worry, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth." It is the same Jesus who healed that man, who says to us, "I understand your fears. I know your concern for the future. I know of your struggles in this world. That same Jesus knows and understands addictions. He knows feelings of guilt. He knows feelings of shame and unworthiness. And yet, no matter what you have done, He still offers you His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness. And so I can say to you today with great confidence that Jesus, who is here with us today, keeps His promises. He has lived among us. He understands us. He cares for us. He forgives us. I can also say to you that you can look to the future with hope. You can look to the future with a joyful expectation of what God can accomplish through each of us individually and what He can accomplish through all of us together as a group. While what He gives us might not be what we expect, with all things God is possible. The widows in these two stories both expected that the worst had happened to them and that their lives were over. They expected their life to be terrible, and the best that they could hope for was that there might be some distant relative who would come to them and offer them some meager provision so that they might continue to survive. But that wasn't the plan that God had for them. God restored their sons to them, not at all what they expected. And so we don't know what our life will be like either. We just have that same fear that it won't be good. But the God who cared for these two widows is the same Jesus who cares for us. He loves us. He cares for us. He has mercy on us. He has compassion for us. And as such, we can look to the future with joy and confidence. The God who surprisingly restored life to these two sons just might have a surprise for us as well. He can provide the opposite of what we expect to happen. He can lead us to a completely unexpected future. Today we see God having compassion and mercy on two widows who are grieving at the loss of their sons. These widows who were at the bottom of the socioeconomic world, widows who had no security in their future, they had no one to provide for them. But we see in these two widows a marvelous story, the marvelous message of God's deep love for unimportant people, for insignificant people like you and like me. No one is beneath His notice. He loves everyone in this whole creation. He loves us. He has compassion, especially for you and for me. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.